Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, welcome to a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. We always appreciate you being suspects, taking us along for the ride. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel on a Wednesday. If you've missed it and you haven't been listening this week, shame on you. Barry brought to the attention of the others the need to view The Dirt, the Motley Crue biopic. It was, without question, top quality, and we all decided, well, there you go.
Hair metal.
Hair metal bands pre-2009
totally
songs.
Totally forgot about my list.
Shocker, Nick. Never would have guessed that it would happen.
It's because it involved hair.
At least there's no track record of you doing this kind of thing.
Hey, before we start going at each other and I make you look bad.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. You look dapper, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Very dapper.
Yeah, you. I'd hit it. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God.
Today, I'd hit it.
Well, that's something he'll keep in mind tonight.
Why is this the camera?
Yeah, I noticed that when I walked in, and apparently camera one is not functional. And therefore, you guys get the top view. Did you just flick off the camera?
Nope.
Yes, you did.
It does. Camera one that's broken looks like it's falling off a cliff.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
It's leaning.
What's happened?
I walked in. It was like flashing and acting all weird. And this is the only angle, guys.
And you kicked it? Admit it. You kicked and hit the camera.
I honestly did not. This hides your double chins a lot better than the other angle.
So yeah, thank God I had to move it, but now I feel like it's just looking at my penis the whole time.
No one can see you down there, bro.
Tommy Lee. You can't. It's not.
If we were Motley Crue and had a groupie down there, people would be getting a show.
The Bananarama?
I'm so mad at you that you even...
You did it.
But that's not why I said it. I was just using an example of a group, and you took it and went with it and made it awful.
It's a cruel, cruel summer, Barry.
Oh, my God. I hate you for that even more than just the Bananarama reference.
I was trying to think...
You know why? Because that song is going to be stuck in my head.
There you
now.
Go.
Thanks to you.
And it's an awful song.
It is an awful song, and they're an awful group.
Yes.
Were they hot, though?
No. I don't believe they were.
Who was Bananarama again? Like, who was in it?
I don't know any names. They were three women. A blonde.
I didn't even know they were from the UK. I thought they were, from Portland or something.
No, they were like Kylie Minogue-ish.
Was Kylie Minogue in there?
No, but Kylie Minogue's from
Across
the pond.
Sarah Dolan?
You're not going to name any names that anybody knows.
Kieran Woodward are the current members of Bananarama. And then former members, Siobhan Fahey. See that, Nick? That's a professional.
I was just going to say, Nick, that.
You don't even know. I just didn't even hesitate. I don't even know if that's right. But you, Syringe, nope. And then Jacques O'Sullivan.
You know what? I'm not pronouncing any of these names for you.
I think that's Jackie, actually.
Jacques.
I screwed it up already. Jackie O'Sullivan.
See, and the thing is, we don't know enough about the group to even say...
No.
Which one was the Steve Perry that left Journey? What are the two new lead singers that
filled
in?
Which one was David Lee Roth?
Yeah.
Or which one was Sammy Hagar?
We don't know.
Of the Bananarama. Did I just call him the Bananarama? I don't think
you
that's
did.
Right either. I'm looking at pictures of Bananarama.
Uh-huh.
Not hot.
Nope.
It looks like Kajagoogoo more than Bananarama.
Yep.
it looks like Kajagoogoo and Flock of Seagulls shared band members.
Indeed. It really
and made
does.
Bananarama.
All that's, female. They all had sex changes.
Not hot. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Bananarama. We'll put them down on the not hot list.
So who's got hour number one there, Dapper Dan?
We're going to go with Barry's sorry ass list because he had no creativity. He put no thought in his list. So we're just going to get that list out of the way.
I think I should go. I think you should go first.
Annie was a cheating ass who did it during the show yesterday.
I agree.
One, I think you should go first because then you only have to come up with 7 songs and not 8.
But that means I would have to come up with 1 song like literally in 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, that would be quick thinking. Barry.
And you can't just Google hair metal?
I can. You really want me to do this?
Just Google Wasp and put the first song that comes up, and there's your first song.
Don't.
You know what? No. I will do the first hour.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's good.
I accept your challenge, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Sweet.
You go second.
Remember, the ladies like Kip Winger. Just go Winger for 100, Alex.
Don't do Winger. Don't do. Do Rat or Twisted Sister or something. Don't do Winger. Please.
I'm sure I'll get killed.
Who
did
the songs that Cherry Pie? Warrant. Do Warrant.
Yeah, do Warrant. Cherry Pie. There you go. That's a good start.
And since you do YouTube, try and stay focused on us in the show, because when you watch the video for Cherry Pie, we'll lose you for a good 3 minutes.
I've seen that video.
You're
going to
get a
I'm
chub.
I'm aware.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll watch it again.
You'll chub it out, I promise. Speaking of challenges, you know, yesterday you were challenging me to 3 shots.
Oh, yeah.
Over 4 shots over 3 hours at Twin Peaks on Friday. Probably going to have to turn that down.
You're bitching out.
Well, because now, so Billy Gardell's in town this week. Friend of the show, Billy Gardell.
Oh, Billy Gardell. He was funny. Yeah, he was
great
funny.
Dude.
Yep, great dude.
He's going to do the show again, hopefully.
Sweet.
He might come up to the Shenandoah Twin Peaks and hang out with us for a segment or two. Promote the show, talk comedy, talk sports, talk Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. Yep. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say Pittsburgh Billy Gardell.
Yeah, he loves the Pirates, but we'll talk. We'll have fun.
Huh? Get him to talk Steelers. He'll have a good Pittsburgh opinion on all the Steelers offseason.
So but that should be fun if he's able to make it. But then I have to go out there to the joke joint on Friday. Because I might have to fill in for his feature, Don Lerner, who's a great comic, but there's some issues going on. So I can't drink and then go on stage. I don't do that. I'm a professional. I can't.
Yeah, you've told us before. You might have a drink that you sip on stage, but yeah.
But I have only done comedy one time drunk.
And it wasn't good.
In 5.5 years. Actually, it was pretty wild, but I didn't like it. I don't like being out of control. So I'm going to have to regretfully decline your invitation to get drunk on air. Now, that might change tomorrow, as the kids say.
Yeah, but with me back here.
Well, Crystal Collins is showing up tomorrow at the Twin Peaks.
You're
going
to get drunk. She was buying us shots last time.
Yay, I can't wait to see you guys. And I immediately, my first response was, I am not drinking with you, Crystal. She's like, that's a lie, sir. I was like, no, because I got to be there till 7. No. Absolutely not. So I don't waste your money buying shots for Barry tomorrow.
If I was there, I'd help you, Crystal. I'm pretty persistent about convincing people to take shots. Ask Jordan.
I'm going to have to put my foot down. I mean, I did at the Twin Peaks that we were at on Friday when I did the Blitz, too. I did a couple shots, but I'm going to have to be pretty.
You did. And the thing is those same listeners and others said they were going to show up to partake again this week.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of peer pressure.
It's okay. I'm strong in my beliefs, and I will do a shot each day, but that's about it.
And Nick is absolutely right with his persistence.
He'll pester the hell out of
us.
Even AJ was like, man, what's up with all this peer pressure, man? I'm like, come on, bro. You're like twice my size. You can handle this. You can handle this.
And the fact that you made the statement just now, I don't like being out of control, means you will never make a road trip with ESPN 97.5. Because it almost seems like
aggravate Barry. If he ever comes to one of these trips, I will aggravate Barry for sure.
No, I mean, I don't like being out of control on stage.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Because on the road, it's...
Yeah, it's totally different. Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about, like, on stage or even on radio, really. That's why I'm glad we ended when we ended at the Christmas party, because it was getting, I was getting pretty sauced. So
want to reference what Barry's talking about too, try and find the on location March Madness year one.
I wasn't sauced on that. I'm talking about the Christmas party at Nick's.
I know. Oh. But you weren't, whether you were sauced or not, I was talking about just the lose control aspect.
Oh yeah.
You let more things fly than
that was a lot of fun.
And you weren't the only one. Were not the only one.
Apparently, that was recorded and does exist somewhere online.
Yes,
I'm not going to plug the website, but it does exist.
Don't do that because then you need a spelling bee. All right. We're just getting started on the big show today. We've got plenty to go on a Way Back Wednesday and lots to talk about because, well, your Rockets played the Bucks. So the fact of the matter is that everybody has lost their minds and they completely are now convinced that Giannis Antetokounmpo is your MVP, which is false. So we've got that to talk about. We've got Astros opening day coming up. So that means the Blummer's going to join us because he's a friend of the show. So about 1:45, he's going to jump on with us and talk about Astros baseball. So we'll get to some of the key things to kind of look for the upcoming season. That should be good stuff. Always good to have
really
Blummer.
Good. I'm excited about Blummer. Yeah. He's a great interview, great dude, knows his stuff. Love listening to him call the games, by the way.
I do too. Have you seen his new little venture with Jake Mariznick and Tyler White,
dude,
at Academy?
That was so funny.
Really funny.
Especially when I think it was Tyler White. Well, so like if you don't know what happened, Tyler White and Jake Mariznick went to an academy dressed up as employees,
yeah,
and were helping people in the baseball gear section. And
it was like Impractical Jokers,
basically. Yeah. And Blummer was in the back, and they're talking to people, and like Jake Mariznick was like, "Who's your favorite Astro?" And or "Who's your favorite baseball team?" Or "Is your favorite team the Astros?" And they were like, "No, I don't like baseball." And this, you know, "Who's your favorite player?" And they were like, "George Springer." And at one point, Tyler White grabs a jersey that is a kid's jersey.
It is.
Not a kid's jersey, an infant jersey. And goes, "Oh, look, we even have game-worn Altuve jerseys."
Fantastic. And Mariznick's talking to a chick, and he's like, "So who's your favorite Astro?" And she says, you know, Springer. And he goes, "Well, have you seen this Jake Mariznick guy? I've heard he's got great hair." He's just plugging himself. And finally she catches on, and she's like, "Do you, like, work for the team or something like that?" He's like, "Me? No." And then the one lady says she's looking for a soccer ball.
That was debatable last year.
Yeah, and Tyler White goes, "Hey, here's one." And she goes, "That's a volleyball."
He didn't know
what a soccer ball was.
I saw the abbreviated version, but that's outstanding.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
So they're doing that. That's a plan. They're going to do that quite a bit. Or
we'll have to ask him if that
thing
was a one-time or if it's like the HEB commercials and it's going to be all year. That'd
Blummer
be great.
Was orchestrating all that, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's got to do that again. Blummer's a funny dude, too, man.
Yeah, and he's... he's indebted to me for life because I came up with the name for his segment in his podcast.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Blum and Blummer.
Nice.
Yeah. So he had surveyed a whole bunch of people and was asking, like, "What should I call my segment on the podcast?" And he got it down to a final three. And it's the first time I had saw it. And I sent him a message. I go, "Bro, time out. How do you not think of Blum and Blummer?" And he goes, "Oh, dude.
That is strong."
Next thing you know, he goes, "There's been a revision. You can vote on these three, or Pac-Man Joel just came up with this one." And it was like, even Allison Footer and Astros beat writers are like, "Oh, my God. How do you not just take Blum?" He goes,
"Blum and Blummer.
Yeah, Blum and Blummer. We're
amazing,
going with it."
Dude.
Yeah. So he's indebted to us.
So he does his podcast with somebody else?
He does it with somebody else, and they do it. And he can plug it and tell you all the details. Yeah. But, yeah, it's really good. And there's a lot of guys now. McHugh's doing one, Colin McHugh, and they're kind of and McCullers is doing one, and they're almost kind of staying non, like, what's going on in baseball right now kind
of
stuff.
I swear, if any of them start interviewing viral stars, I'm going to be so pissed.
I'm going to give them that idea.
Don't you?
Yeah, I think
call it the 14
Blummer's
going
to be 14 and a half. Right, yeah.
I would hate you so much if you did that.
Well, then I got to do it.
No, of course.
Just remember your Way Back Wednesday list, and then we'll figure out why I would want revenge.
And Bregman's doing his YouTube thing. So, yeah, you're right. A lot of the Astros and people related with the Astros are branching out and doing other things. So that's cool.
McCullers is so big into the gaming.
Is he?
Yeah, that he just basically wants to do everything completely around centralized around gaming.
Ah, yeah. Well, it's
you can't use your arm and you're a pitcher.
That's true. You don't need your
you need something to do.
What is the ligament that Tommy John surgery fixes? I don't know.
Ulnar collateral.
There it is.
I think that's right.
I mean, you're a pitcher. You should know.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right. By the way, if you want to join the show, HRNP listener line, as a reminder in case you needed it, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny.
Hey, I have bad news for you about your Packers.
I already know.
Okay. Well,
but he wasn't going to re-sign with them anyway.
We'll get to the next segment.
Right.
But I have good news for you if you like money. GetUpside is a thing that you can download. It's an app for your phone, completely free. GetUpside is its name. Search for it in your app store of choice, whether it's iTunes or Google Play. Put in GetUpside in the search bar. Download it. Totally free. Takes less than 2 minutes to be downloaded and set up. And while you're setting it up, make sure you put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And here's why. Because GetUpside is an app where it gets you cash back on the stuff that you're already paying money for, like gas and like when you eat out at restaurants. And why would you not want to get the cash back? Why would you leave the money at the pump or at the table? So download GetUpside, and what you do is, once you have the app installed, you can search in your area. Let's say you're looking to fill up. You need to fill up on the way home today. You search in your area for gas stations, then it's going to show you all the stations around you that are offering cash back. You pick the one you want to go to that you like the most, that maybe either has the best offer or is the closest, whatever it is. Then you go there and you fill up, and by the way, there's over 500 of these stations around town. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon on that cash back offer around the city. So download it and listen. That's why I want you to put in promo code Barry. You're going to get extra savings on your first fill up with that promo code. So make sure you put that in as well. My wife ended up getting like 30 cents cash back a gallon on her first fill up. So, you know, if you got 10, 12 gallons, that starts to add up. Don't leave that money at the pump. Same thing with the food. Up to 35% cash back at hundreds of restaurants around the city. It's called GetUpside. If you're not using this, you're crazy because you're leaving money at the pump. More and more listeners are getting involved and getting on board and downloading it and putting in promo code Barry and sending me screenshots where they have $200 already banked in cash back that they've gotten it. So you need to do that too. Download the app. It's called GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting rolling on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Way Back Wednesday. Nick, taking hour number one, going a song at a time.
Did you steal this?
I made sure Joel didn't have this poison song, because he does have a poison song. You don't have any poison songs, right?
No, I know. If anyone plays Motley Crue, that's automatically, they stole my song.
Yeah. Well, you thought this was Motley Crue?
No, I'm saying because he asked, he had a poison song.
I don't
song.
Remember which poison song I put on, so I had to.
It was
Talk Dirt. It was Nothing But a Good Time.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. They all sound the same to me. Let's be real. Every poison song sounds like the same poison song. I don't know why. That's just a thing. All right, from the text line, somebody said, hey, fellas, how about replacing the shots challenge with the milk Coke challenge? Then we can all partake. You guys aware of this?
I just got a refresher course. I watched the video.
It was one of those things I wanted to bring up earlier when it started really going viral, which I think was 2 weeks ago or so. But it's a thing that, you know, took the internet by storm, and it's basically you mix equal parts Coca-Cola and milk. And you can use any kind of milk. You can use regular old plain-ass milk. You could use skim milk, 2% milk. You could use creamer. You could use, I mean, pretty much anything you want to use. Most people are just doing it with milk, and they're saying like, oh, well, you know, it's just kind of like a Coke float or like a, you know, something like that. Were you a big Coke float guy?
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all call it a Coke float?
Yep.
See, we did, too. Were you a Coke float, dude?
I did. Absolutely.
I don't know why I got away from that. Is that just like a kid's thing?
I don't know. There's an incredible amount of sugar. But
oh, my God. I used to love
it. I was going
to
say the first reason why we got away from it is because either that or we'd be flying over football games on Sundays a blimp, because it's not exactly good for you.
But it does seem like there's less and less places that sell it.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, you would just take ice cream, one or two scoops, put it in a cup, pour Coke over it, and that was a thing. So I don't know if the milk Coke challenge will be bad, but I do know we're gonna do it today. I'm gonna make y'all do it with me. We're all gonna try it. So we got to find somebody to go to the store for us.
Now the thing is, though, the video that I watched,
will you
try it?
Okay.
But the video I watched said that. You wait 6 hours.
Oh, God, no.
We don't have 6 hours.
No, no. We're just going to mix equal parts Coca-Cola and milk and try it. Because that's also part of the challenge is just that. Like, people just do the mixer. I've not seen them wait. But we'll try it. Some people say it's awful. Some people say it's good. I'm curious, should we add ice or something like that? Make it a little weirder.
What? So?
I mean, that just makes it cold. But I don't know, because there's no good ice in this station.
Yeah, you can't trust
it's all
that.
Awful. So and we need to find somebody to go get us some milk.
It would be more disgusting for you if Nick and I just made you eat part of some of the ice.
That would be awful. Yeah. That would be awful.
Because I'm pretty sure you need the Coke to kill whatever you digest with the ice.
No doubt. So I think today we'll try the milk Coke challenge. I'm kind of interested to see what it tastes like, to be honest with you.
I'm expecting it to be like a Coke float, just not as cold.
See, I'm expecting it to be a watered-down version, which will make it awful. I don't think it'll be that good. I don't know.
I was okay with the Coke float, just the actual Coke part with the ice cream.
You would just drink the Coke?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. I mean, you eat the ice cream when you get to it. Because the other kicker that people don't realize, there's an art form to making it, too. Like, if you put the ice cream in first and then pour the Coke over it, you get 3/4 foam.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you would do the Coke first and
then
the
ice cream? You do the Coke first and then drop the ice cream.
I thought that's how you're supposed to do it.
No, and then it splashes everywhere like when you poop.
See.
What?
You had to go there.
I'm just saying.
We're talking about on the way in, not on the way out.
What do you... Pooping is all on the way out.
Why are
what are you talking about on the way
all,
in?
Why you're pooping blizzards? I don't know.
No, when the poop hits the splash, that same thing. You drop the Coke into the... I mean, you drop the ice cream into the Coke, it's going to splash everywhere.
Do you poop with your butt like...
I poop with my butt,
8 inches above the toilet seat?
No, I'm a fly, and I poop out of my mouth like an owl.
Okay, Dad, what I'm saying is your cheeks are on the seat when you poop. You're not elevated. So if you put the ice cream in the mug the right way, tilt it and let it slide down.
Okay. I thought you're just dropping bombs from way above target range.
B-52. No wonder why your toilet splashes.
Well, I don't know. We always put the ice cream in first. That was always like step one.
Then you get all foam.
That's true. And then you got to put your finger in it to get the foam to go down. You know that trick, right?
I just know that I'm shocked that you would actually put a finger in your own.
My hands are the cleanest hands on the planet. Doctors are envious. They wish they could perform surgery with my hands. But no, you know that's the trick for foam, right?
No.
Absolutely. If you just pour a regular glass of Coke, you just... You know, hey, I think I'm going to go get a glass of soda, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Put some ice in there and you pour it in all the foam. You get that big, foam. Just stick your finger in there. And it makes the foam go down really fast.
That's so dumb.
Nope. It works. You guys doubted my hiccup remedy, which on location, a listener came up and said, oh my God, Barry, that thing works 1,000% of the time. Like, it saved me the other day. Because I had to hiccup so bad. It works, and it's fail-safe. And you guys doubted me on that.
Can't you just pour it correctly, like beer, tilt the cup?
Still
slow.
Get foam.
No.
Put your finger in there. Foam goes down. You'll see today.
I've done that before.
With your finger?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then why are you doubting it?
Because it doesn't really work that well. It's not that effective.
No, it's better than it blowing on it or whatever else you're going to do.
Blowing on it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what people do?
Some do.
Some people just kind of drink the foam and then pour more.
Nick.
Bon Jovi, you give love a bad name.
So essentially what you did, Nick, is you just looked at, you don't have to look at Barry's list. You know the one group. But you just looked at what groups were on our list and thought, well, if I just pick another song from everybody else.
Okay, so full disclosure, so y'all know what I did.
Uh-huh.
I did, in fact, Google hair metal bands.
That's
okay?
Understandable.
But when I saw a band that perhaps you picked, Joel,
yes.
I made sure to avoid it and use a different song.
But same
That's
artist.
That's fair.
Right?
How many hair metal bands are there?
A lot. There's a lot.
A whole lot. It was a whole genre.
No one's mad that I'm stealing Bon Jovi.
Wasp.
Yeah. You haven't played any of the good ones yet, like Wasp and Winger and Striper.
Striper's a big
Winger?
One.
Striper's
yeah,
big.
Winger.
People love Striper, dude. You should play a lot of Striper.
We were like kidding about Cherry right now, Pie, so. By the way.
Huh?
No. Warrant Cherry Pie will get you some votes.
Yeah.
I'll play that.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Second half hour of the Nick Hour of Wayback Wednesday coming up, as well as lots of other good stuff. And Jeff Blum is going to join us at 1:45. So we're going to talk some Astros baseball, getting ready for opening day tomorrow. Lots of good stuff on the agenda. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I want action tonight. Satisfaction. All right.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half hour of The Usual Suspects, three-hour program. Nick, Barry, Joel, way back Wednesday. Nick, cautiously selecting a song at a time for his way back Wednesday list in hour number one.
Nick. Sing this. Just hum it.
Wait, let me wait for the I want action part. Oh, that's just too late. We just missed it. We missed it. Sorry.
Damn it.
That's the only part I know. I want action. That's the only part. Those three words. That's it.
Poison and Motley Crue did have a very similar look and sound.
Yeah, very similar. Mm-hmm. Bearded Buddy here. Blummer's not a friend of the show. He's a suspect.
I like that.
I like that, too.
You know what? I say no. Oh. I, you know why? Because he still joins other shows on other stations.
What?
Yeah.
He's cheating.
He cheats. I've called him out before on this because he actually has co-hosted on other stations.
Well, he's building his brand. He's building his brand. I'm not going to knock that.
Right.
I mean, if he wasn't such a good guy, y'all know me, I'd be the first one to hate on him. But he's building his brand, and he's a good dude, and I like him. So
he's probably the best that they can put on the air. So
at the other stations. Careful now. We're up against new competition.
Oh, boy. I pity the fool.
Barry is a toilet hoverer. Yeah, we established that. I don't know why you think that would be breaking news on the text line.
Well, because it just came to the attention that you're a bowl splasher because you're a bomber.
No, I don't know. I put my finger in Coke all the time, especially a Baja Blast. Those things are super fizzy for some reason. I don't think I've ever heard anybody admit it before, though. See, that's what I say. You guys always... Like, when I say I'm an open book, I'm literally an open book. I will admit to and talk about anything, just about anything, including jamming my finger in a Coke to get the fizz to go down. You want so bad to make a sex joke. I know you do. He's just, like, turning red.
Nope.
From not being able to figure out how to make a finger joke.
We're all guilty of it. Let's be real.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
That's why I keep bringing it to Santa, because you guys, I just looks at your faces like, oh my God, I want to make a finger joke right now.
Not
so going to
do it. Barbara, good. Saddam, bad.
The finger trick is absolutely true. Hashtag Team Barry.
Hashtag Team who?
Barry.
Oh God.
Robert and Tomball, one, finger in the foam is legit. Two, I can't trust someone whose poop doesn't splash at least sometimes. That's you, Pac-Man Joel.
I never said it doesn't.
Robert Tomball doesn't trust you.
How could you not trust somebody because of that?
Yeah, that's a weird reason to have trust issues.
and the other thing is, how do you get the proof that you need so that you don't trust?
Sometimes you just got to watch. It doesn't lower the foam quick. Swipe your cheek if it doesn't lower the foam quick. It's the oil in your skin that causes that. Yeah, a couple people were saying you rub your finger in the crevice of your nose to get oil. I'm like,
no,
I'm out on that. I'm using a completely clean finger. Let's establish that fact real fast. I'm not rubbing my finger anywhere. I've seen Joel use crotch oil before. That's gross, but I'm not.
Crotch oil.
I'm not rubbing my finger in between my nose or like Joel does on his taint. I'm not doing that. That's disgusting, and that's not.
You leave my palate out of this. I believe when you use the crevice of the side of your nose, the protein content also goes off with the dead skin that you're going to be consuming.
That's so disgusting.
Well,
so
enjoy disgusting. That. I'm How not about doing that? That. Want to give me my news that I already knew?
Yeah. Sad news, Packer fan.
But it doesn't involve the Packers anymore.
Calling it a quits.
Now, he had 4 to 5 teams, including the Patriots and the Seahawks, after him.
I felt like the Packers would have pursued him, too.
I do, too. And I was hoping they would.
That's what I'm saying.
So you know what they're going to do now?
It would have made sense for him to go back and finish his career in Packerland.
It also
a sad day for you guys.
No, because he wasn't still a member of the Packers.
He was a Raider last year, but let's be real. He's number one in your heart.
He'll go down as a Packer, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, look, Randall Cobb's a Cowboy. Clay Matthews is a Ram.
Yeah, but those guys will always be Packers, right? Yeah. It's like Favre.
But that's why
Was Favre a Jet, really?
No. Some people on Twitter.
Was Favre a Viking?
Well, ask
really?
Jen Sturger. She'll tell you he was a Jet.
Favre was a Packer, through and through.
Maybe a biplane in the pictures. But the thing is, people on Twitter were losing their mind. Like, the Packers need to sign him to a one-day contract so he can retire a Packer. It doesn't matter if he does it or not. He's going to retire a Packer. He played 10 years there.
No doubt.
And I'm with you, but you're gonna like this.
Okay.
Because now that there is no chance, at least obviously it looks like it, that Nelson's going to play for the Packers or anybody else, do you know who Green Bay is now supposedly targeting at number 12?
Who?
Your boy, DJ Metcalf.
Oh.
So Mr. 1.6% body fat might be lining up on the other side. So that would be interesting.
That will be interesting.
I hope he can catch. But, yeah, he looks like that would be a nice addition.
Boy.
Put him and Devontae Adams and those guys together?
That's not bad.
Speaking of retirement, too, did you see that Belichick, like, really refused to talk about Gronkowski retiring?
Well, he's no longer a Patriot.
That's just ridiculous to me.
That's with how he him, is, dude.
Well, but guess what? Without him being on the Patriots for as long as he was, you might not have as many Super Bowls and as much success as you've had. So at least honor the guy and acknowledge the guy and say, you know what? He did a heck of a lot of great things for us, and we wish him all the best. Even if you don't want to say we're going to miss him, just say give him props.
Tonight, we're on to Jacob Hollister.
That's BS. Let's
see, that's how he does. You know, we're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Jacob Hollister. But what about Gronk? We're on to Steven Anderson. That's the part of the Patriot way. It's like
part of the reason why I hate him.
Like, it's kind of like I hate to say it, it's kind of like radio. Like when you're no longer a part of that team, you're dead to that team. Like, you know. There are friends in the business and all that, but once you're like AJ, really, I know is ultra competitive when it comes to ratings and stuff. You heard him the other day talking to Clanton about don't quit your TV show, buddy.
I mean Wexler.
Yeah, sorry, but that's the thing. Like he's that way, and I get it. Like if you're not a part of the squad,
if you're not with us, you're against us.
Yeah,
and if you're with us, you're fair game to get ripped.
And more than any other team, the Patriots are like that. Oh, you're retiring. You're not a Patriot.
Bye. That's weak. To me, that's ridiculous.
They won't do it to Brady, but it won't surprise me.
But that's a big one if they do it to Brady.
But it won't surprise me. You know Brady and Belichick have not always seen eye to eye, even if they're, you know, behind closed doors, there's been rumblings that they didn't always get along.
Especially last year.
Yeah, with the whole TB12 and all that.
And Brady's trainer and all
that stuff. Yeah, that's the TB12 stuff. It won't surprise me at all if it's the same thing. We're on to Brian Hoyer or whoever it is. That won't surprise me.
I just think Belichick, if you don't do it for Gronk, I still think you have to do it for Brady because it's just unequivocally without one, the other wouldn't have been successful.
Yeah, but that's Belichick. Like, you know, Robert Kraft and the organization and everyone else is going to acknowledge Gronkowski and his contributions to the Patriots and their championships. And he'll be in the Ring of Honor and they'll do whatever that they're going to do to acknowledge him. But that's not Belichick. And Belichick is the creator of the Patriot way.
And in my mind, that's why Bill's an a-hole.
Okay.
Because of the fact that,
fair enough,
as the head coach, and you know what it takes and what...
Let me ask you this.
That guy has laid it all on the line for him for so many years.
Uh-huh.
That's where the a-hole in you has got to take a back seat to...
Let me ask you this.
Rational thinking thanking
him. Let me give you a scenario. Well, let's say Nick leaves our show.
Yeah.
And goes to be the producer for Clanton and Wexler. Is he dead to you?
No. He's still my friend.
Oh, he's dead to me.
Still my friend?
No. I mean, he'll be my friend, but as far as...
I'll pay the fool who go over there for the 18.
But as far as, like, if you let... Yeah, you're dead to me. Like, he would totally be dead to me.
From a competition standpoint, you're saying.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I think that's how it should be. You're still boys. I mean, I'm well, I'm friends with people. Like, I'm cool with some of the people on the competing stations.
Me too.
But I've talked mess about
absolutely.
The competing stations.
Absolutely.
So
some of them don't like it.
Who?
Well,
just some.
Sorry.
Did somebody say something?
They just think about it and say, what should we do?
Oh, see?
Are you talking about Matt Thomas?
Matt sometimes he lets me know he's listening, and sometimes he gets a little upset.
You might be the worst of the three of us, and I know I talk a lot of smack, and I know Nick talks a lot of smack. You might be the worst of the three of us.
Not true.
It is true.
When I do it, it's to the people that are actually my friends, for the most
part. Palillo.
Yeah.
Donato. Who does it? Who does it? And then you got, what should we do with Matt Thomas?
Yeah.
Right.
So they're all your boys?
Well, Granato, maybe.
Granato hates
you. Yeah, that's
fine. Hates your face.
That's fine.
But, I mean, like, if Nick were to leave, first of all, how would you make fun of Nick if he wasn't here anymore? What voice inflection would you do for Nick?
You guys are going to expect me to go,
I don't think anybody can do my voice. I don't think anybody can.
Just do Steven Wright.
Hey, that was really funny. That's great. Yeah.
You got Get Upside coming up next.
Hot. yeah, but I'm saying, like, if Nick left and went to a competing show on a competing station, he would absolutely be dead to me. And I say dead to
now
me.
Now, wait a minute.
In
now,
the
wait
sense
a minute.
Of the competition.
Throw
of radio.
Another variable in there.
But he would still be my friend. But I would be like, we're moving on to whoever's the new producer.
Throw another variable in there.
Who would be the new producer? Who would replace you right now, Nick, if you left
I don't know.
Us
this, we've got a,
for greener pastures.
A bunch of depth in terms of producers here.
You think it'd be no. Pretty Boy Andrew?
No,
it could be.
What's Andrew's last name?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think it starts with a C. Andrew.
Carlson. Andrew Carlson.
We're on to Andrew. That's all there is. He doesn't need a last name.
Wait a minute. Let me throw another Hyped variable in there. So Nick leaves, but Nick leaves after we've had a bunch of success and we've won the ratings.
Why
book.
Is this hypothetical? We have had a bunch of success,
okay,
Joel.
But I'm saying, say that there was a 10-year span of us being together.
Oh, God.
And we won.
Kill me now.
We were like number one in the city for most of those years.
Okay.
Had a ton of success, and then he decided to move on. You still have that same opinion?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What song is this?
I Wanna Rock.
Twisted Sister.
Oh. You didn't pick this one?
Dee Snider, no. I took the only song that was somewhat recognizable.
All Barry's trying to do is get rid of me from this show and disqualify me from Way Back Wednesday. That's the only two things. That's your only two goals today.
I was literally making a hypothetical. That's all I said is if you left us for greener pastures, if you're like, hey, I'm going over here.
Oh, is that Twisted Sister? Didn't you have that on your list, Joel?
Actually, you know what? I heard them saying Shout, and I was like, is this Shout at the Devil? I will slap the fire out of you if you stole Mama Cruz. That's why I asked, and I just heard Shout. I was like, what, bitch? No!
So
you can steal his stuff, not mine.
See, I can debunk your theory even one further.
About Nick leaving?
Yep. About the whole Gronkowski thing.
He would still be my boy. He would absolutely be my boy. There's no doubt about that. But he would be the enemy. So I get it. Like, if you're not okay. here, okay. How would you debunk it?
No, the other one that debunks it even further is, but the only problem is that he's not with another competing station. But he left.
Yeah, if Nick retired, you're probably right.
Okay,
that's a good point. If Nick just said, you know what, I'm on a radio, I probably wouldn't hate him.
Yeah.
I would be like, we're on to Andrew. I wouldn't do that. I'd be sad.
That would be tough to say.
We're on to Andrew?
Yeah. Hey, Blummer next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects, hour number one, 3-hour show for our guest. Number one show in the time slot, number three show in the city. Keep that in mind when you decide to guest host on other shows, especially when your creative juices are always flowing better when flowing through Pac-Man Joel. Hey, no!
He's
no
never
more wasted time.
Now.
Jeff Blum joins us right now on the show. Blummer, it's a Way Back Wednesday, just to fill you in. Way Back Wednesdays, we pick themes and we go songs pre-2009. Hopefully you've seen The Dirt, the Motley Crue Netflix. If you haven't, you will love it. And with that great hair you have, I'm sure back in the day you had a propensity for moosing it up and throwing a little eye black with different colors and doing a little hair metal.
Moose and eye black, man. That's a little out of my skill set.
Wasn't that your Padres years?
No, but you know, it's funny enough. I think it was in high school. Me and my buddy just kind of caved in after I think of that Kickstart My Heart album or Dr. Feelgood, and we just said, screw it. We're going to go all Halloween this year. We, you know, one of us was Nikki Sixx, the other one was Tommy Lee, and we almost got kicked out of school for the outfit we wore.
If you were Tommy Lee, in a lot of ways, you were doing all right. You'd be fine.
Yeah, I didn't have to stuff anything. That was a good thing.
Didn't have to bring the Louisville Slugger.
That's fantastic. Blummer, so you were a hair metal guy, huh? You partook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, my mom sat outside my bedroom door and was worried why I, you know, and wondering why I was playing Ministry and Slayer and Metallica and all that.
That's outstanding.
Fantastic. Seriously, if you haven't seen the Netflix biopic, Barry suggested it. I watched it the other day. It's fantastic.
I'm going to do that.
Use that on your road trip. So speaking of that, you got a road trip already coming up. You're heading to Tampa for the open of the season for our Houston Astros. Talk to me about just the whole preseason, the fact that this extension thing has gotten to be a big deal. It used to be, hey, it's just one of those things players have to suck it up, that they have to deal with team control until it expires, and then you got to go try and get yours. Now it seems like Jeff Luhnow and the baseball staff of the Astros are ahead of the curve in trying to send a new trend that really looks good for players, agents, and the team when they're looking at guys looking at the Astros.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think it's kind of fun to watch, you know, the Astros kind of lead the way in some of these analytical categories, but also leading the way in, you know, procuring good talent and keeping good talent, because I think one thing that gets lost in free agency is that loyalty, and it seems like that loyalty is coming back because free agency is getting a little bit sketchier for some of the older guys. And now guys are able to lock in. Altuve signed a 7-year deal to stay in Houston. Now you've got Alex Bregman for 5 more years. And there might be other guys on the table that might be able to have the same opportunities. So that's great for the fan bases around baseball to see that happening. But the marriage between analytics, the eye test, and team loyalty has really, really come together nicely here in Houston to be able to keep guys like Alex Bregman, Altuve, potentially Correa, Springer, Garrett Cole, and these guys around for a while because they know they're good, they know they're great for the community, and they're just a ton of fun to watch. So it's a lot of fun to see that kind of happen.
All right, Blummer, Astros are one of the best teams in baseball going into the season. I think most people have them picked to have the highest win total. I've seen the Yankees up there as well. But what would you pinpoint as a weakness on this team that maybe either got addressed in the offseason but is still a weakness or didn't get addressed that you would have liked to see them do something before the trade deadline? And I say that just from the standpoint of this team is so good that it's going to be hard to say that they're bad at any one thing. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on where they could improve.
Yeah, I was going to say, my gosh, you know, that's like trying to pick a weak spot in our broadcast. There isn't one. but I mean, if you had to nitpick and you said, where can I actually get better? I think the depth of the rotation, but only in the sense that if you could go out and get a proven talent to fill in, you know, that 3-4-5 spot in the rotation, you could say that. But at the same time, you know, we just have unproven talent. There's, you know, Josh James, what can he do in a full season? Framber Valdez, we've seen flashes of brilliance from him. You know, Whitley, Bukauskas, Morton, we saw these guys in spring training. So that's really the only weakness is maybe that the talent that they do have coming up potentially at the back end of that rotation is unproven. But there's always the potential that they show up and do great things like we saw them do in spring training. So it's just a matter of time. But there's no real weakness for me on this ball club unless you get incredibly nitpicky and say, I want one more arm to really go through a 3-game series, because you're going to be hyper, you're 2-1 and 2. You've got Cole, Verlander. McHugh's going to be a good addition, but you don't have that dominant 1-2-3 like you did last year.
Yeah, it's funny because last year, I mean, you could make a legitimate case that the starting five, their starting rotation was 4-1s and a 2. I mean, you could literally case. And now you've had to settle by sprinkling in some threes. And like you said, a Josh James, who probably on a lot of teams is a 3. So, yeah, it's funny that that's what we have to consider a weakness.
Let me ask you, Blummer. Let me ask you that. With that being said, Dallas Keuchel still out there, and you as an ex-player watching what's going on with salaries, and a lot of guys still kind of out there. Craig Kimbrell and others are out there as free agents still. It was a very slow off-season process. Verlander very outspoken about, you know, what the heck's going on here with the system. Your thoughts on, one, Dallas still being unsigned? Is there a chance he comes back? And then just overall the whole free agency stuff?
Well, until he signs with somebody else, I'm going to go ahead and say that there is an opportunity that it comes back, because I would imagine, you know, the relationship is already established between the Astros and Dallas Keuchel. Now it's just a matter of, can they get the right numbers if he wants to come back, if the Astros want to offer enough to get him to come back. But it's frustrating to me to watch a guy of Dallas Keuchel's caliber, you know, the Cy Young in 2015. Granted, he's, you know, that was a great year on a great ball club. Maybe he doesn't match that again. But even if he is just under that Cy Young level, he is going to be an incredibly valuable, serviceable guy who's been, in his past, been able to go out there and get you 200 innings and keep you in ball games. That's the frustrating part for me. But at the same time, you know, it's both sides. It's an organization that says, no, we don't want you for X amount of years. And then it's on the other side, it's the player that says, no, I deserve that kind of time, but nobody's willing to offer it to him. So I can only imagine the frustration that's mounting for Dallas Keuchel, because the season is starting tomorrow. If he signs now, his spring training will be the month of April. And if you're lucky and everything goes right, he starts for you on May 1st. But that's not guaranteed. So now you're compressing that first year that you have Dallas Keuchel into a 5-month stretch if you're lucky. And that's where I think the issue starts to set in. But I don't think he can afford to miss much more time.
Speaking of missing time, talk a little bit about Correa. He's got the neck issue. He's questionable for the opener. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but AJ Hinch came out in regards to this and said, look, it's disappointing. Like, it's disappointing that we haven't had him the last couple of games, and now he might miss the opener. And to me, it sounded like a little bit of frustration in AJ's voice, and I may be wrong in that. Your thoughts on Correa and the neck and how AJ Hinch views that right now?
I think they're always going to err on the side of caution, especially this early in the season. And you got to remember, you know, the 2 days off here, the exhibition games at Minute Maid Park, I just kind of threw that away. I was just, the level of expectation to play in those games isn't very high to begin with. And if you have a nick or, you know, a strain of some kind that you don't want to go on the field with, I don't think management has a problem with that. So these 2 games here at Minute Maid Park, I just kind of throw away and, you know, give him credit for getting a little more extra time off and get in the training room, get the treatment, get it right for potentially opening day.
Blummer, we have a Nick. He's our producer, and it does cause us a lot of strain from time to time. I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, it was easy.
I'm sorry.
It's just easy.
It does equate to scarring and history and, you know, baggage being carried around. But, if he doesn't start opening day, then I wouldn't push the panic button, but I would say, hey, there's a little bit of concern. I think, you know, a day off here in, you know, with the 2 days off in Minute Maid and then the day off travel day to day, hopefully he's good tomorrow. But I'm with AJ Hinch in the sense that I'm disappointed, because what we saw in spring training was a healthy Carlos Correa hitting the ball extremely hard and making great plays at short, and that's what we've come to expect from him. If we get anything less than that, there is concern.
All right, you guys were talking about where there might be a weakness. I want to talk about one that was identified as a potential weakness in the offseason. They went out and they got Robinson Chirinos as their starting catcher. They have Stassi backing him up. I look at that position. I look at a Chirinos who looks even skinnier to me than he was with the Rangers, too, and I wonder, is that a good thing? Are you good with the catchers that they have, or is that something that they're going to kind of monitor as the season gets going?
Man, you got to pick on that one scab I was trying to look over and let you up, man. No, I'm with you. It's not a knock against these guys, but I think, you know, the opportunity to maybe bring back a Maldonado, maybe be an opportunity there, or if there was an opportunity to go get a JT Realmuto from the Marlins, now he's with the Phillies. You know, I would have emphasized that, just because you see a pitching staff like the Astros have and you say, I want somebody that can go back there and catch the baseball, work with these guys and help us win. And if we get an occasional big hit, that's an added bonus. But their primary focus as a catcher here with the Astros is be a good receiver, be a good teammate, call a good game, and limit mistakes. That being said, Stassi is a very good catcher, gets a lot of pitches for his pitchers. a relatively decent catch and throw guy. Chirinos is a guy who's, you know, I think he was more of a threat at the plate with maybe the occasional home run, had 18 home runs last year. But he's kind of working himself into a position behind home plate where he's got to work well with these pitchers. And, you know, there's really nothing that jumped off the page that said, wow, Robinson Chirinos is an upgrade over a Maldonado. But I think A.J. Hinch is just going to have to find a way and ride the hot hand on who's got the hot bat or working well with the pitcher and keep him out there, because the primary focus for these guys behind the plate is catching those pitchers and making sure that they are getting the best out of those guys every 5 days, man.
All right, we got plenty more questions. Real quick, we're going to take a 10-second pause for station ID, and then we're going to come back with more Jeff Blum on the Astros and the opening start to the 2019 baseball season.
ESPN 97.5.
I listen to this all the time.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
That's what I'm saying.
A Gao Media station.
All right, Jeff Blum joins us, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Jeff, I want to talk a little bit about this West, this division that the Astros are in. I think part of the reason why they're projected to win so many games is I think the West isn't the worst division in baseball, but it's a lot of mediocrity. What are your thoughts on Oakland, and are they going to bounce back and have another spectacular year? The Angels looked to got better. The Rangers and Mariners were busy in the offseason, but I don't know if it made them any better. Thoughts on the whole West and how it shapes up?
Well, for me, the Seattle Mariners were good last year and then traded away some key parts, and now they're, I think they're not, I don't know, even know if you can call it rebuilding mode, but they're not the same team they are last year. I think it's going to be the Rangers and Mariners pulling up the rear. The Rangers did make some moves, but they were lateral moves or not moves that were going to push them towards the level that the Astros are at. I think the Angels are going to be good if they can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing for them, is their rotation has been good and been able to hold down the Astros in the past, but only when they're healthy. And when they have injuries and bring up guys, they usually get hit around pretty good. The Athletics are interesting to me just because I enjoy what they've done. I like the way they play the game. I like their young talent. But at the same time, I felt a little bit like last year was overachieving for them. They had a couple of key guys move in Jed Lowry and Jonathan Lucroy, who's now with the Angels, who's going to help that pitching staff in Anaheim. But it would be tough to repeat what they're doing. I agree completely with you, you know, in the sense that Boston and New York are going to beat the hell out of each other in the East, and that might suppress some of their win totals. Whereas in the West, like you said, it should be a pretty dominant performance. If the Astros are healthy and swinging the bats like they can, they should blow through the West pretty easy.
Blummer, before we get any further into baseball or anything else, I do want to give you a chance to plug this podcast. It's been fantastic for you since you got it going. And for people that just love listening to that just top-notch broadcast on AT&T Sportsnet, or they just need more of you on a daily basis or at least weekly basis, tell them a little bit about what's going on with that podcast.
It's basically just me and a good friend back in California who played a couple of years in minor league ball, still hangs around the game, still talks the game. He loves talking sports. His name's David Tuttle, and we just pick an hour a day where we just kind of chew on some stories that we've heard about throughout the course of the season. We hit on some Astro topics. We kind of, you know, beat each other up a little bit in the beginning because we're a bit of a mess, and we can, you know, be idiots on our podcast a little bit every once in a while. But it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot, and it's called Bleacher Blum. And if you like sports with a lot of Astro emphasis, please get on it, download it, because it's been a blast. It's on most major platforms. But I appreciate the plug, man, because I feel like we're getting our legs under us a little bit and having a lot more fun. But the topics recently have been pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I heard you got a new segment that's appropriately named Blum and Blummer.
Yeah, you know it. I got a hint from one of my good friends that I know pretty well in town.
You're welcome.
Believe it.
Hey, Blummer, I'm curious. We talked a little bit about the West. Thoughts on the entire AL? I mean, who do you see as the division winners in the AL, and who is your early season pick to make the wild card?
Oh, man, it's going to be Yankees, Astros winning their division. The Central is going to be the Indians, probably, if they can stay healthy and keep their pitching staff intact. There's not much competition out there. I think Minnesota's going to sneak up on them and challenge them a little bit, but I don't think they overtake them in that American League Central. And then, of course, the Yankees out of the East are probably going to be that wild card. I just don't think that anybody's going to be able to overwhelm them and do it. So you're going to see some repeat offenders in the American League, because there's those teams that went last year are stacked, and those teams that are going to be in it this year are also stacked again. It's just a matter of, you know, who can come out of that American League and challenge for that World Series championship. But it's going to be the same. Or I should say, it's going to be the usual in the American League.
Look at that. That's
I like what you did there.
That's
yeah,
a professional
that's
right there. So you said Yankees, Indians, Astros are your division leaders. You got the Red Sox making the wild card. Who's your second wild card team? I'll give you four choices. The Rays, the Twins, the A's, and the Angels. Who are you picking as your fourth or your second wild card team out of that?
I'm going to go out west and go with the Angels. I think that they've got something in store. I expect Brad Ausmus to go out there and really try and push some of those buttons. Pujols saw a couple of games in spring training. He looks reasonably healthy, but they had a couple of guys. You know, Justin Bour is going to be interesting. I'm going to pick the Angels just because I'm curious to see if they can stay healthy and compete.
Okay.
All right. That means to me, Blummer, the biggest thing this year with those three teams really, really close and evenly matched, Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, trading deadline could be a big deal. You mentioned the fact that depth at the starting pitching for the Astros might be something to look at. You look at the Yankees, they tried to bolster what was an up and down pitching staff. Severino's out for them. The Red Sox named David Price their fifth starter, but we'll see how all that plays out. Trade deadline could be very important this year based on the fact that there's so many teams bunched up.
Absolutely. That's always the interesting part, is that so many of these teams, even as good as they are and they're competing, what's great, like the Astros, is that they have these minor league systems that they're able to go out and dangle those prospect carrots out there and say, we'll give you a couple of our young guys if you give us a high-quality starter in return, or a DH or a catcher in return. So that's where the fun kind of sets in for me, is now we've, in the last couple of years, I feel like we've really been able to check out what teams are doing and kind of anticipate their needs. Yeah. And you start to see them go after these guys, but then you can also kind of play the game like, what if they throw this guy at him? Would they take him? And that's where the fun is for us sitting at home, you know, armchair GMing.
Well, you talk like a guy like Trevor Bauer. Obviously, it's a tough mix because of his relationship with Gerrit Cole. But Trevor Bauer, someone's going to go after because he's already said, this is my last year in Cleveland, and I'm going to play one-year deals. And somebody that needs a hired arm is going to go look at him. And with only one trade deadline this year, that could be a big deal.
No, I agree. And, you know, risk reward, or, you know, is it worth, you know, worth the headache that he might possibly bring in? Because we know his social media presence is pretty extensive and interesting at times, to say the least. And he's established communication with plenty of guys around the league that have been good and not so good. But the guy goes out and competes, and you talk about a guy who can move in and, you know, just take the Astros rotation, for instance, in a, you know, a Verlander, Cole, Bauer type situation. You would have to insert him in that third spot in the Astros rotation. That would make things incredibly interesting. And then who knows? You move Tyler Bauer might want to come over and learn how to pitch with some of the stuff that Stromy's handing out.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, speaking of loving it, I really enjoyed the thing you did with Tyler White and Jake Marisnik at the Academy.
It was awesome.
Talk a little bit about that. How fun was that? It was kind of an Impractical Joker style thing going on there. Talk about that. That was funny.
Oh, it was hilarious. And we had no idea what was happening. Me, Tyler White, and Jake Marisnik rolled over to the Academy Sports. We were in the Woodlands, and this massive production crew comes at us with cameras and microphones and ideas, and we were like, wait, what's happening? And I mean, Tyler and Jake were stoked. They put the mics on, they put on the Academy polo, and they went after it. They didn't even need me in their ear, even though I was trying to give them a little bit of information, but they ran with it, and it was absolutely beautiful.
No, it was fantastic, because I was mentioned, we were all talking about it before the show today, and some of the highlights, Marisnik talking about his great hair when he had his hair up, and Tyler White thinking that the lady was looking for a soccer ball, and he pointed out a volleyball, and I was like, oh my God. But is this going to be something like the HEB commercials, where there's going to be more than one? I just saw the main one that was on Twitter.
I don't know. I hope so, because it turned out to be a pretty good hit. I know they got a couple of thousand likes on their page. I retweeted it, got a couple thousand likes. And I would love to be a little more prepared for that situation, because they kind of ambushed us with it.
I can't believe you guys didn't know it was coming.
Prepared, oh, it would be that much more fun. So I hope, I encourage them, if they're listening, to do this again for sure.
How did you not know it was coming? That's one of those things where you talk about it for weeks in advance, try to set something like that up. That's crazy organic.
Yeah, I mean, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't give us enough information. We were only told that we weren't going to sign and that we were going to interact with, you know, customers, and we just assumed that we would be fake employees and kind of, you know, guide them toward the Astros stuff. But they said, no, We're going to give you earpieces. We're going to, you know, dress you up. We're going to put you back here. I had four monitors to look at. It was insane. There were cameras all over the place.
Whoever had the game-worn Altuve idea, unless that was absolutely just spur of the moment, someone coming up with was fantastic.
I mean, it's always in the back of our minds, but we love Jose Altuve so much that, you know, like in my position, I don't feel that I can do that. But Jake Mariznick is a little more intimate with the guy.
Yeah.
So he could get away with it. And he threw that out there, and I about lost it behind the scenes.
It was absolutely outstanding. All right, a little bit more on the AL, because I'm curious. You know, last year Mookie Betts was the hands-down MVP of the American League. Thoughts on – I mean, he's going to have competition, obviously, with Trout and Bregman and some other guys. Thoughts on the MVP this year?
Man, you know what? I say it every year that I want Correa to go out there and win it because I think he's that good of a talent, but I think Bregman actually is a little upset that he didn't get into the top five or even the top three. And as far as voting is concerned, I think he's going to go out there and do a great job. And I really believe that too, because of the addition of Michael Brantley to this ball club.
Yep.
You know, hitting behind Alex Bregman is going to give him a ton of pitches and opportunities to drive guys in. But Mike Trout's going to have another phenomenal year. You can't ever count that guy out. It's been 8 years in a row or 6 years in a row where he's been in the top two. So, it'll be impressive. Mookie Betts, I would be impressed if he was actually able to put up the same kind of numbers. But don't take your eyes off the ex-Astro JD Martinez. Also, I think he's going to have another great year. This might be the year he kind of pushes everybody out there in the American League East.
You surprised by the numbers being thrown around, the Trout deal and the Machado, and everybody's saying now that Mookie Betts is going to get Mike Trout money. Mookie Betts is good. I don't think he's Mike Trout good.
Yeah, the only difference is, I mean, Mookie Betts has got to show me that he can do that consistently over the years. Now we know he can do it. It's just a matter of can he do it for a number of years, and that's where the money starts to come in, where I say Mike Trout, that was a deal getting him for $430 million just because he's got, like I said, 6-7 years of being in the MVP voting, and he is putting up numbers that are ahead of, you know, when they start comparing you at the age of 26, 27 to Mickey Mantle, yeah. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and these guys, you've done something right, and you've really turned some heads. But I think Mike Trout's worth every penny of it. And the only knock I have against Mookie Betts is, you know, does he have the sustainability like Mike Trout?
Yeah, real quick before we let you go, because we know you're busy and you got to get out of here, but I'm just curious, since we're previewing the baseball season, any thoughts on the NL? Anything stand out? I mean, what are you looking at in the National League and what's going to happen over there this year?
I'm curious to see how the Dodgers unfold, and the reason I think it's interesting over there, just because Clayton Kershaw, and we talked about Dallas Keuchel earlier, I think that might be a pretty good fit if they're able to work out a deal with him, because I'm not sure how hurt Clayton Kershaw is with the Dodgers. The West is just going to be fun because I think the Rockies are much better. Can they do it in Coors Field and that atmosphere? Manny Machado is going to be interesting to watch in that big ballpark in Petco Park. Is he going to be able to put up big enough numbers to match that contract? The Central, you know, the Cubbies are going to be very good. The St. Louis Cardinals are interesting to me just because the addition of Paul Goldschmidt, mm-hmm. some of those guys they have coming out of their bullpen throwing 105 miles an hour. I can't wait to see some of that. And then the National League East is just going to be an absolute brawl, which I can't wait to see with the young Atlanta Braves, the addition of Harper in that ballpark with the Phillies and how good they're going to be. But then nobody talked about the Washington Nationals and the top three they have in the rotation, mm-hmm. and it blows my mind. So I expect the Nationals to do some pretty good things. I'm also curious if not having Harper makes them better.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, and fear the beer, please. Don't ever discount the Milwaukee Brewers. We know you got things to do. We do appreciate you joining the show, and you got a bus to catch. But look forward to catching up with you throughout the year. And, of course, you can always catch Blummer. AT&T Sportsnet, he and Todd Callis and Julia Morales and the whole crew are going to be at it starting tomorrow, and we'll look forward to watching you every single game.
Well, good being on with you guys. Appreciate the opportunity. It's going to be a good 2019.
There you go. Blummer, travel safe, and we'll see you on TV tomorrow and call us a lot of victories. Jeff Blum joined us right there on a good extended segment. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.